Hi, I'm sitting here with my daughter, Carter, who is sewing, not sewing, sorry,
knitting.
A little, what is it? Like a little rainer.
I'm going to make a little sweater.
I'm going to murder the dog. She's making a sweater for her nephew.
Yes.
And it's very tiny, because he's very tiny. And Rainer, go lay down. I don't want her, why is she barking?
I don't know.
What's her deal today?
Stupid.
Carter was just bringing up the interesting topic of fandom surrounding.
I mean, this could be applied to any fandom.
Right, but specifically Good Omens.
Yeah.
I would actually argue the same thing happened to Overwatch.
I think this happens to a lot of fandoms.
Right, but in particular, what happens is people glom onto characters and they really, really glom onto them. And get to the point where they kind of feel like they own them. And so they can take them wherever they want, do with them whatever they want.
Yeah, beyond fan fiction.
Right.
Beyond fan art.
Right. If you're just doing, like, you did some fun fan art of them.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, innocuous enough. But there are people out there making, like, really gnarly stuff. Like, taking it in places that neither of those actors would like their likeness to be. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But it's just like Overwatch. Like, Overwatch has this horrendous side to it that is nothing to do with Blizzard or the game.
I think, generally, fandoms somehow always take women and just run.
So, in this case where it's men, why do you think, what's the difference?
I don't know.
Something changes about that?
I'm not entirely sure. Just with Overwatch, I think people get a little crazy just because butts and boobs.
Butts and boobs?
Butts and boobs.
Do you think butts and boobs are enough to inspire, like, a load of, I don't know, that kind of stuff? Like, that's enough?
I think so.
But why does it have to be Overwatch? Why can't it be?
Everything has this. Sometimes games do it to themselves. Or comic books do it to themselves.
Like, how do you mean?
Like, have you ever, you know, the Hawkeye Initiative or whatever it's called?
No.
Where people and even, like, pretty high up, like, comic artists have made male characters into poses that female characters are in comic books.
Oh, right.
You've heard of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just a cultural reaction to, like, okay, guys, tone it down. Hey,
well,
what if guys are like
this? The point is, yeah, the satire of, look what you've done.
Yeah. I can see that. But in the case of Good Omens, I guess I'm a little... This book's existed for a long time.
Yeah.
I guess I'm a little surprised that they, as a pair of people, have taken off so much in everybody's imagination.
I saw a post that kind of described this, but it's, I think it's because it's so wholesome in this weird kind of, I think I showed it to you. The thing that was like, Good Omens is the gayest piece of media I've ever seen, mm-hmm. but the only here is Gabriel. That whole thing.
Yes, you did show me that.
I think,
what you're saying, I agree.
I think it's got this thing that hasn't existed really a lot in that more like, I don't know, it's usually people go really overboard with the fact that, I mean, people who've seen the show will know this, but, like, Crowley
mm-hmm.
Presents as a woman a couple times in the show, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
But it's never made a joke.
Right.
No one ever says, oh, ha-ha,
he's
dressed like a woman.
Ha-ha-ha, right.
It's never that. It's right. Never the butt of the joke. And I think a lot of people who are either trans or cross-dressing or whatever it is identify with that. And go, oh my gosh, this is the first time I'm not being made fun of.
Yeah, finally a portrayal isn't just slapstick base humor.
Which is why I think people love it so much.
So, I think also part of it, I think part of it is that there is a wholesomeness to that show, like there's this
Everyone
kindness
loves
to
each
it.
Other.
Yeah, there's a kindness to it.
Yeah.
And it's a kindness that's, the perspective is between an angel.
Who,
in all forms of entertainment or all forms of literature, the ultimate force of good, and a demon in all forms of literature, the ultimate source of evil.
Yes.
And yet those two can hang out, sit at a park bench, have long conversations.
They actually enjoy each other's company.
They like each other's company. Like, there's something about that that appeals, that appeals to me.
The only unhealthy relationship, because all the relationships, like, even the them with Adam, people who haven't watched the show will have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But they are not, Adam doesn't lead them like a dictator. He's not being like, you will play my games and I am the leader. But he has this weird responsibility of, you know, I have to make the best games. I have to make sure my friends are happy.
Right.
And that's a weirdly, like, wholesome relationship to, for them to have. And
right.
Like, it's really, yeah.
Here's what I think. I think that the book probably, and certainly the, you just read the book too.
Yeah.
So you'd know this more than me. But the show definitely does this thing, which is reminds you that all of the power, all the consolidation of power in the world, whether it be heaven or hell, whether it be earth or not, is out of your control. Even if you work for one side or the other, there's so little you can do to affect it, like change it.
Yeah.
And so coming together in the middle and finding common ground, I think rings a lot of truth for people today.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Especially right now. I think it did with when the book was, you know, it's 30 years old now. When it was first
old.
Came out, I think it probably applied, but even more so now.
Mm-hmm. So do you hope, are you one of those people that hopes there's a sequel or a second season?
I don't, actually.
You don't want
like, I like, I really liked it. I wish there was more content, kind of. But I also think, especially in TV right now, there's always these shows that go on forever and ever and ever. No one knows when to stop because they're making lots and lots of money. And then you start to hate the show because it's gone on too long.
I think that's getting better, though.
But that's my point, is I like that this is a thing that exists on its own.
Right.
It doesn't need a sequel.
Streaming stuff and things don't need, they don't need to keep pushing.
I don't need it to keep going. So, I like that it's just a story.
All right, here's a big question. In a world where you could only have one, either Good Omens, because you love it so much, or the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but you can only pick one and the other one is immediately destroyed from our memory. Which one do you pick?
I don't know. That's hard. What would you pick?
Probably Marvel, because the book would still exist and the comics would still exist in the other case. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so just the cinematic
just
universe
the
and just
cinematic
the,
and just the TV show, if you could pick.
I don't know. I really don't.
You do. You'd go Marvel, right? There's so much of it. It's also good.
There is, but I really liked Good Omens. It's really good and fun.
All right, what if the rule was that 10 years from now they could start it and make it?
I would swap a few movies,
like
a few
what?
Of the cinematic movies for, you know, like I'd...
You'd pick them all over?
No, I'd
remove
I'd
them.
Say remove them.
Which ones?
I don't know, like I didn't love, I don't even remember... Iron Man 1 or 2 or 3. I don't remember them at all.
2 is very bad. 3 is okay. 1 is still really good.
Age of Ultron? Don't care.
Age of Ultron's not a good movie. It's a bad movie.
Yeah. Any of the Hulk movies?
Well, there's only 2 technically, and 1 was out of the MCU.
Yeah.
And the other one barely is in it.
Thor. What's the...
Dark
is it
World?
The second one? Yeah.
Yeah, not
I didn't like it. It was meh.
Yeah. Yeah. I would trade Good Omens for all of those, sure.
Yeah, for, like, specific ones.
But, like, Infinity War and Endgame, you're not trading those.
No, although maybe I will never watch those ever again.
You cried hard.
I cried hard.
You were a mess in that.
It was
okay, how about
bad.
Guardians 1?
Guardians 1?
So good.
What about it?
It still might be my... it's right up there as one of my favorite Marvel movies. If
it's way up there for me. I really love the Guardians.
And then,
those comic books are so bad.
I know. That's why it's amazing that it works at all. That's why I... okay, so my top three... I know this is nothing like the subject we started talking about.
Nope.
The overt sexualization
of characters.
Of Good Omens and characters.
And fandoms.
But that's okay. Here's my... I think this is my top three. Captain America Winter Soldier is number one for me.
Okay.
I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
It's like a spy movie, and I'm a sucker for those.
Yes.
2 Guardians, 1.
Okay.
3, I'm counting Gauntlet and Endgame as one.
Okay.
Those are my three MCUs. If I'm picking my favorite Spider-Man of all time, it's Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. I think that's...
These other two recent ones are also good.
Yes. For very different reasons.
For very different reasons, and I like how they fit in the MCU and all that. But Spider-Verse is...
Special.
Very special.
Yeah.
It's really good. Do you have a top three?
I don't know. I'd say Spider-Verse is definitely number one if I...
If you can count.
Out of everything.
Yeah. It might be my favorite superhero movie ever.
Yeah. I think it is mine.
But I mean,
I count Iron Giant as a superhero movie.
You count that?
I count that.
Well, if you're counting that, it's a superhero movie, close.
Not in, yeah.
Because that's a good movie.
That beat Spider-Verse for me, but...
Iron Giant is...
It just had its 20th amazing. Year anniversary.
I know. It came out in 99.
It's crazy.
I was thinking about this the other day. World of Warcraft came out when you were like 7?
Me?
Let me think about that. 2004, Nick was 4.
That's why I was 7.
7 years old. So, that's a long time.
Yes.
You're 22 now?
I am 22. So, how many years is that?
I mean, you didn't really play it till you were like, what?
Oh, maybe.
10?
11, probably.
11, maybe. And even then, it wasn't like a ton, but whatever.
Yeah.
These days, you play a little bit more here and there.
I do.
I mean, how do you feel about the state of it?
What do you mean?
I don't know. Do you like where it's at?
Yeah.
You want it to...
I'm enjoying it. The thing is, I don't get into, like, the little micro things like, oh, the battle pets or, oh, this very specific crafting thing that everyone's mad about. I've never gotten into that stuff. I like if I enjoy it, I'll play it.
You're lucky. Because I have to deal with those stupid details for my job.
Yeah.
But you... get to just play it on the pure fun level of it, and if you're not in the mood, you don't. And if you are in the mood, you do.
I love the stories and I love the characters. Goblins have a special place in my heart.
Really?
I love goblins.
They're getting redone.
They're
now.
So stupid and I love them so
this
much.
Next patch they get you're getting all new faces and bodies and stuff. Because the way that worked is the original characters all got reworks in.
Yeah, but then goblins and worgens were newer.
They were new, yeah. They could hang around a little longer. But now they're getting redone. Now they look better than the other models. So now they're going to have to go back and do that again at some point.
Consistently changing.
It's weird because it's not like they added a bunch of new polygons. I mean, there's some of that, but most of it's just better texture work. It's just better looking, better art.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's an update. It's funny.
Because that's just better artists, right? Like, we're not talking. Maybe some of them are the same. I don't know.
Probably the same artists who've just gotten better with technologies and such.
All right, let's say tomorrow. Okay. These following companies came to Carter, the young artist, animator, creator, Art Carter, who's also knitting.
I am knitting.
While she listens to the rock hits of the 70s and 80s, by the way. She has my old boombox in there playing, what, Rock 101?
K-Bear something.
K-Bear, yeah, 101.
I don't know.
It's a channel we've had forever. I had it when I was a kid. And she really likes... Like, this is AC/DC right now.
Yeah.
Shoot to kill, or shoot to thrill. Anyway, you guys probably can't hear it.
Little side note there.
We're in the echoey living room. Oh, what time is it? Okay, we're good. So, if you were approached today by Blizzard.
Okay.
Pixar.
Okay.
Aardman.
Ooh.
I know. The other one whose name I always forget that did Two Strings and...
Laika,
whatever it is.
Anyway.
And let me think of one more that we all respect and love. I can't think of any more. Are we running out of companies that are that cool? I can't think of any more. Okay, so those four came to you. And they said, you have to decide now. You have to pick between us. And let's say all the salaries, benefits...
They were the same.
Location, all of it was the same. You didn't have to worry about any of that. There was never any, well, this is in cold weather most of the year, or I'm going to move to California. It's just all the same, across the board, pay, options, retirement, promotion, opportunity, all the same for each of those companies. Which one do you take?
It's a toss-up between Aardman and Laika.
I knew you were going to say that.
But
I know those others are cool.
I don't think I could pass up the chance to work for Aardman.
Oh,
I think
it would be amazing.
It would be a dream job.
I mean, even I would take it.
Yeah.
Like, it would be the coolest thing you could ever do. You could make chicken run too.
That's probably like sacrilegious for me because I'm, you know, in game stuff.
What is the okay? What we need to tell you what's happening here. The dog.
Rainer,
stop it.
Gosh.
The dog Boomer is playing patty cake with the cat, basically. Getting whacked upside the head.
Come here, Boomer.
And the other dog wants to murder the cat.
Yes. And the cat wants to murder something.
I might throw her at it.
Don't. Scott
okay,
Johnson.
Okay, I won't do it. Alright, Aardman it is then.
Aardman. Hey Aardman.
You might change that in 10 years when Leica puts out like another 10 amazing films. And
this is the thing is, I think that
they're kind of
like,
becoming the Aardman of.
They are. They definitely.
Aardman's putting out less work.
Over. I think that just that general kind of animation and model building and stuff like that is a dream.
You just want to make little houses with little tiny table settings and little.
And I love the like
plates and forks and
the whole thing that takes absolutely forever to like. Move one arm or whatever it is. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that tedious, tiny animation work.
Traditional animation. Not tweening, not freaking 3D animation where you get to, you know, have a lot of motion that's made up algorithmically.
Yeah.
Like you want to just move it, click. Move
I have
it,
to spend
click.
A year moving one character from one side of a thing to another.
That's pretty great.
I think it'd be lovely.
Well, I hope you get one of those jobs because then you can retire me.
Mm.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us for this episode of Diary of a Cartoonist. That's what this is for.
We covered a lot of topics.
We covered a lot of topics. It started out a little saucy.
A little saucy.
And then it got less saucy.
Less saucy.
Rainer, any final words? Oh, she doesn't like this thing.
No, she does not.
Nope. She sees this recorder and wants to run. Go get him! Go get him! All right. Bye, everyone.